ballot paper for the election on the 24th of October. And apparently Attorney General Ross Fanning was looking into this in great detail to see if his name could be taken off it, if there was any way that was possible. We understand from news this morning that the presiding officer over the election has confirmed that Jim Gavin will definitely be on the presidential ballot paper when voting takes place on Friday 24th of October. And any votes cast for him will be treated in the same way as for the other two candidates, despite his withdrawal from the race. Well, with me in the line to talk about this in more detail, I've got Dr. Owen O'Malley, who's with School of Law and Government with DCU. We also have Professor, Assistant Professor Adrian Canada, Adrian Cavanagh, I should say, Assistant Professor of Geography at Maynooth University. Good morning to both of you. Owen, if I can start with you on this one. Look, this is a right mess. And a right disaster politically for Fianna Fáil. But just for people going into the ballot box on October 24th, there'll be a candidate who has declared he's withdrawn, but you can still vote for him. Is that right?
Yeah, because he hasn't actually withdrawn. So he stopped campaigning, but he's still legally a candidate. And if he were elected, he would still be elected. So people could, you know, go out and vote for him in large numbers. And now he might refuse the job if he were elected. But so you can still vote for him if you're a Fianna Fáiler and you want to vote for a Fianna Fáil candidate. You can vote number one, Jim Gavin, and then transfer your vote to whichever of the other two candidates you prefer. And it'll operate as it normally does. Those votes will transfer. So I've seen some rumours on social media kind of saying, oh, that would be a spoilt vote. But it won't be a spoilt vote. You can still vote one, two, three as you see fit.
And that number two, will count as a vote for the other person, because Jim Gavin, if he doesn't win, will be transferred in the normal way as if he was still in the race.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so his transfers will still happen. Now, I assume he won't get as many votes as he probably would have had he continued campaigning, but I'm sure there are still going to be people who will vote for Jim Gavin, just because maybe if they're kind of Fianna Fáil, they might prefer to do that. But yeah, his votes will be treated exactly the same way. And in theory, he could in fact win the election.
Okay, it's a question of what happens if he does actually win the election, as unlikely as it would be. He would be the president, but he could obviously refuse it, could he?
Well, he can refuse, he could just refuse to turn up, and then what might happen is the election would have to be rerun, or there would be possibly more likely we might end up seeing the second place candidate being nominated by the Oireachtas could just nominate and agree with that there wouldn't be another candidate. Of course, if you do reopen it, anybody can nominate themselves. Anybody could be nominated again, and so you could have another election again.
Yeah, okay, all right. Adrian Cavanagh, good morning to you. Adrian, we have precedent here, or do we, for obviously when a candidate dies, what happens in terms of the ballot paper when it comes within the period of an election? But for someone who just gives up, I mean, where does that leave us?
Yeah, it basically leaves things as they are, Gerry, as Owen's already explained. There is a deadline for candidate nominations, but there's also a deadline to officially withdraw from an election contest. And that deadline was passed a good few days ago. So Jim Gavin will still be on the ballot paper. We have a precedent in cases where candidates die during an official election campaign, where the election in that constituency has been postponed. They've reopened nominations again, and the election has been rerun. So it's happened in at least two general election contests. I know, I've forgotten the other one, but Sligo Leitrim 1932 was an example. Now, in Tipperary in 2020, Marie Skehan died during the election campaign, an independent candidate. And initially they said they were going to postpone that election contest, but then a day or two later they decided they wouldn't, which I thought was actually a very bad precedent. I thought there was sort of an implied decision there that she wasn't going to win that many votes anyway, so why hold up the thing? We've had a similar scenario in two local election contests in the last 20 years or so. So Roscommon or mid-Roscommon in 2004 and Ballybay Clonus in Monaghan in 2014. So it's a normal thing to happen when a candidate dies, but when the candidate, in this case, unofficially withdraws, there's no precedent for stopping the election, and there's definitely no precedent for pulping all the ballot papers and reprinting them again, as some people were trying to do last night, apparently. Daft, totally, total madness, to be honest.
Yeah, the postal votes went out yesterday, so that was a non-runner from the start.
Oh yeah, I don't, like, for the Attorney General to even waste his time dealing with this, it's crazy. Like, this election gets more and more, presidential elections are usually, they're often a circus, but this circus this time around is getting crazier and crazier by the day. Give you a local election contest any day, Jerry.
Yeah, indeed. Owen, look, and for a while we were wondering yesterday ourselves, and we've a strong memory here in Kerry of the situation with regards to local elections and the legal challenge that was taken, went all the way to the Supreme Court in 2014 in relation to former Senator Dan Kiely, who was then contesting a local election, who lost out in a handful of votes. And it all came down to the definition of a spoiled vote and when was a number one not a number one. And that all got decided on. That isn't the factor here, though, because Jim Gavin's still in the race. It's not like you'll be voting number one for him and then all of a sudden that will automatically transfer to a number one for Heather Humphreys or Catherine Connolly.
So it won't be a spoiled vote if you give your number one to Jim Gavin. I mean, I think there were some people kind of talking about writing in Maria Steen's name and giving her a number one and then giving a number two to another candidate. That would be regarded as a spoiled vote according to, under the Kiely judge.
And would that be important then that this is explained very clearly to the electorate who may be confused about it, that look, if you go in, it's not going to be a spoiled vote. There was some sort of suggestion, oh, we'll all go in and we'll vote for Jim Gavin to show how upset we are. That'll just mean votes for Jim Gavin initially, but your number two, if you put a number two down, would end up transferring to one of the other candidates.
Yeah, they will. And so I suppose, I mean, what you could do if you were kind of thinking, I want to another election, the whole country could kind of decide, let's vote for Jim Gavin. Presumably he refuses it, and then there are fresh elections and the nomination process gets reopened. So that might be a way for people to exercise some sort of protest, all right. But, you know, who knows, if Jim Gavin were elected, he might just say, okay, I'll take it. So
we'd be voting on Christmas Eve if that was the case, Owen. Don't even start to suggest that.
I think things are looking bad enough for the government at the moment now. So I'm not sure they could handle that.
Could swing that one. Adrian, listen, is this a bit of a test as well in terms of communication for the relatively newly formed on Commission Talk on the Electoral Commission?
They will have to get on the ball in terms of communicating what's a spoiled vote, what's not a spoiled vote. Definitely, as Owen's explained already, it's actually quite clear, but if you don't know the rules, there's scope for a lot of confusion, especially about writing candidates, which in some countries like the USA, that is a thing, but it's not a thing. You write on the ballot paper, you write anything on the ballot paper, it's a spoiled vote straight away. But it is, like, this is, it's presidential elections the typical presidential elections. Like, if you think about it, Jerry, in my living memory, presidential elections have probably caused more damage to party leaders than any other election contest. I'm old enough to remember the 1990 election. We lost Alan Jukes straight away after that election, and that was more or less the beginning of the end for Charlie Haughey. And then, of course, seven years later, Dick Spring was the casualty of that election. So Albert Reynolds said, when he was retiring, you cross the big hurdles, and when you get to the small ones, you get tripped up. I'm just wondering, is this the small hurdle that trips up Micheál Martin? Before this election, the general consensus was maybe Simon Harris or Mary Lou MacDonald would be the most vulnerable in this election. But you look at this, and look at what the Fianna Fáil leadership did. No real, like they say, oh, we were concerned, blah, blah, blah. But you get the sense that this was a candidate who was pushed by the leadership with no consultation with the party members. The leadership pushed this candidate hard, didn't do the due diligence, and we've ended up with this mess.
Yeah.
I think this could be endgame for Micheál Martin. Last night he was blaming everybody but himself, and then this morning we discover in the Irish Independent that he knew about it all. I think it's changed a lot. I suspect Micheál Martin will be much more uncomfortable than he was even yesterday.
I'd imagine, yeah, with that revelation this morning, and even TDs were suggesting the word was going round that there was an issue with a tenant as early as the 12th of September. Now we have from the Irish Independent that actually there was an email sent to party about this issue, and when he was saying, no, we knew Jack Chambers yesterday, we knew nothing, it all emerged over the weekend. We're as surprised as anybody else was the suggestion. Mm-hmm. Is there a danger on that could be more damaging than the controversy itself now? For Micheál Martin.
I think so. I mean, yesterday, Jack Chambers and Micheál Martin both went on, and I think Micheál Martin used the phrase, it was kind of deep in the recesses of Jim Gavin's mind. But now we find out that, in fact, it was being openly discussed in the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party. I mean, a lot of people had said, oh, how would you find out about this? How would you do your due diligence? But if it was clearly a story that was circulating among journalists, it was circulating in kind of among political operators and Fianna Fáil TDs. So Micheál Martin was not telling the whole truth when he kind of said what he said last night, and Jack Chambers wasn't telling the whole truth when he said what he said yesterday morning.
Mm. What he said is no record or no recollection or no issues relating to a tenant were disclosed to the party. There was extensive and robust due diligence. This issue was never disclosed by Mr. Gavin, but being addressed to his candidacy. But clearly on the 8th of September, someone in the party knew there was an issue, and that's the big problem here. What about that point, Owen, as well, that Adrian's saying that it's astonishing, the record of presidential elections, even though they're not meant to be the most important elections, to, you know, winning power, running the country, much more important on the face of it. But these elections throw up all sorts of problems for all sorts of politicians and leaders.
Yeah, so Adrian's right. They're the ones that tend to trip. They tend to claim leaders more than any other type of an election. And I suspect we could be looking into the start of the end for Micheál Martin now.
Adrian, just a final point on this before we wrap it up. We're talking about it now. You're obviously experts on it. You know, we pay close attention because of our professions and our jobs to it. There is a person, there are many people out there who are busy living their lives. They're worried about the budget today, but the deep minutiae of politics and voting, you know, sometimes pass them by because they've got other interests. That's the job now for, I suppose, the Electoral Commission, to make sure that everyone is aware and everyone knows and everyone understands that, you know, this is how you vote, even though there's a name on the ballot paper who won't be taken up the presidency, this is how you vote for this election.
Yeah, I couldn't put it better myself, Gerry. I'm just back to the Fianna Fáil point again. Like, even if Jim Gavin had, even if this controversy hadn't emerged, the Fianna Fáil campaign has been so bad. Just go cast your mind back to that awful video of him on the farm, leaving gates open, on the farm wearing white trousers. So out of touch. And I think that's been the problem with Fianna Fáil in this election. It's basically been an establishment-led election. They made Jack Chambers the director of elections. That's like bloody well putting Maurice Fitzgerald in charge of the campaign that you needed Paul Galvin in charge of. They've just got everything wrong in this campaign. But yeah, you're right, Gerry. Yes, it is the job of the Electoral Commission, but also people like myself, to just remind people, this is how you vote. This means a spoil vote. This doesn't necessarily mean the spoil vote.
Okay. All right. Fair point. Gentlemen, listen, thanks for giving us your time on that this morning. We'll see where it goes from here with regards to that information campaign and also the election itself. Dr. Owen O'Malley, School of Law and Government, DCU, and Professor Adrian Cavanagh, who is Assistant Professor of Geography at Maynooth University, talking and specialising in the geography of elections.